I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrara. Vince, we've got a very special guest.
We do. Been a minute since we've talked to him, but there's been a lot that's happened since the last time we talked to him. But when isn't that the case? We bring in recruiting analyst, college football analyst, sideline reporter for ESPN. The great Tom Luganville joins us here on 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. Tom, Vince, and Jimmy, how are you, sir?
I am good. Good afternoon to you guys.
Good afternoon, and let's start with Nico Iamaliava. Obviously, this kid has been one of the most talked about recruits in a while, certainly at Tennessee, with getting a guy as highly rated as he is. Let's start with the player. Give me your analysis of Nico Iamaliava as a player in this commit class for Tennessee under Josh Heupel.
Well, I think one of the things that's so exciting about him is that he has just barely scratched the surface of what he's going to be physically. When you look at him, he's a lot like Trevor Lawrence was when he came out of high school, in the sense that he's super tall but very lanky and lean. He hasn't added bulk or strength to his frame yet, so there's a lot of physical development upside that has yet to take place, which is an exciting thing. That's a good thing. That means he's so far from being tapped out and so far from being a finished product. And then I think you got to look at the productivity. There are some raw elements to his game in terms of mechanics at times, but I mean, the guy threw, 33 touchdowns and one interception a year ago as a junior at a high level of competition in the state of California. So the productivity is there, and that's exciting for me, but maybe more so is the fact that you've got a guy that's got a lot of clay to mold over the course of the next 2 to 3 years.
What kind of impact do you think he has had and will have on finishing off this signing class for Josh Heupel, even though obviously there's a ways to go?
Well, it depends on what type of ambassador he wants to be. You know, there are some guys in recruiting that they're literally the Pied Piper. I mean, they put everybody under their arm, bring them along, you know, lead them and add to the class, because they take it upon themselves to be that type of messenger. I don't know if that's in his personality. I don't know if that's something that he's spending a ton of his time doing. But I think anytime you are a program that's been rebuilding, you're trying to develop and enhance your profile, if you're able to get a high-profile guy at the quarterback position that everybody else is aware of, it draws eyeballs. And kids are going to pay attention. They're going to look. They're going to consider. They're going to talk to each other. I think that's the biggest shift right now in recruiting, more so than anything else over the last 20, 25 years, certainly since the advent of the internet, is that these kids all talk to each other now. You're not going to hide information. You're not going to be able to, you know, to give false notions and be able to, you know, sell a bill of goods to kids, because they're all going to get in contact with one another. So I think if kids are talking with Nico and they're looking at him as a guy that is a leader in this class, obviously that's going to make Tennessee look more attractive.
Tom, what do you think will have the greater impact in recruiting, the fact that Tennessee has Nico committed, or the fact that this is an exciting offense in which to play under Josh Heupel?
Neither. I think it's going to be wins this fall. I think that the more productive they are on the field, the more of an improved product they put on the field, the more that is going to pay huge dividends in recruiting, not just with the current 2023 class, but I think with classes going forward. Obviously, the way they ended last season was extremely positive. It carried a lot of momentum into the offseason. They've been received well on the recruiting front. You know, we have all of the NIL talk. We've got the transfer portal. There's ways to enhance your roster sooner rather than later, more so than any time before in college football. But I've always been a firm believer that if you get a couple of guys and you start generating some buzz, the thing that puts you over the top, especially as you get into the month of November and heading into that first signing period, is winning games, because that's how you develop the most positive momentum.
Do you think with Tennessee's offense the way it is it harder for Tennessee to recruit defensive players, or do you think that's an overrated mindset?
Yeah, I think that's more of a falsehood than anything else. You know, listen, the way offense is being played right now at the collegiate level, not just at Tennessee, but in an abundance of places, with the pace of play, I hear all of this. Well, you know, you're going to get, your tongue's going to be dragging. You're going to be off the field a lot or on the field a lot. And I think that that is a falsehood, because if you're going to say that, you're making an assumption that you don't have good enough players. If you have good enough players, trust me, you're going to play good defense, regardless of what the offense is doing. And, you know, we know the SEC is a line of scrimmage league. We know how important it is to get those guys up front on both sides of the football. So, yeah, is it a big deal? Does it matter? Of course it does. But I really don't think the approach on offense, let's put it this way, I think we're giving kids way too much credit. If they're making defensive players are looking, you know, really strongly at, well, what are they doing offensively that could affect me? I think we're giving them too much credit. I really do.
Tom Luginbill, recruiting analyst, college football analyst, sideline analyst for ESPN, and many other outlets, joining us here on Sports Talk. I'm Vince Ferrar with Jimmy Himes. So, Tom, how much do you hear with, I guess it may vary depending on the level of prospect, how much NIL has risen in the list of priorities and factors in players' college decisions?
Well, guys, I'll put it this way. I broadcasted 3 spring games in the month of April. The weekends that I wasn't broadcasting football games, I was on the road at camps and combines for player evaluation, talking to kids, talking to people around the kids. Every single college coach I have talked to this spring, to a man, has essentially echoed the exact same thing, and that is there are no more recruiting discussions. The discussion begins and ends with, what can you do for me? What is your package deal? And unfortunately, that's the reality of the world that we're living in. It's not about player development. It's not about the NFL. It's not about the campus and the program and, you know, academics or the social atmosphere. We'd all like to say that that's what it's about, but unfortunately, it just isn't. And that's a shame, because that's not what all of this was intended to be, but that is the world we're living in. And to be honest with you, nobody should be surprised by that. When you unleashed arguably the most transformative legislation in the NCAA over the last 40 years and didn't put any rules in place. So, you know, NIL was meant to be name, image, and likeness, which was the ability to earn off of your value and marketability that you have created based off of your performance. It was never intended to be pay for play, or as I even call it, not even pay for play, I call it pay to sign. Because essentially that's what we're talking about here. If that becomes the number one factor in a player's decision, then that's exactly what we are talking about here. And I think that's unfortunate. That's not the path I don't think anybody wanted to go down.
Yeah, because with the transfer portal now, you can sign a guy. No guarantee that he won't decide to leave before he ever suits up for your team.
Yeah, I think that you've got, you know, there are so many different scenarios that, you know, a lot of us have thought of, but many people haven't. You know, what if you're somebody that's, you know, invested a lot in this kid and the kid's a bust, which, by the way, you're going to have a heck of a lot more busts than you are going to have kids that pan out. So it is a low, low, low risk reward proposition when it comes to what you might get in return. And then what happens when a guy transfers and you've invested in that kid and now you're throwing your arms up going, what the heck's going on? And I'll tell you guys, I think that the transfer portal as it relates to NIL is every bit as dangerous, but at least in the transfer portal, if you have somebody, let's just take a Jordan Addison, you at least have a player that is a proven commodity. He has produced, he has generated value. So whatever his marketability is, whatever his market value is, has at least been based on something with substance. You can tangibly point at something and say, okay, I can see why that guy has value. But what we're talking about with kids that haven't even played yet, or even worse, high school prospects, it's a bad investment. It's just, is it going to pan out for a guy or two? Absolutely. Is it going to not pan out for the vast majority of prospects? Absolutely.
Tom, we had the verbal spat with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. They went after it, in particular Fisher attacking Saban. That was not amusing to Greg Sankey. He reprimanded both of them. How did you react to that when you read and heard about the comments from Saban and Fisher?
Well, I think that knowing Nick Saban and how calculated he is, and he never does anything without thinking it through, I think he could take a step back and realize that he could have intimated and alluded to the point he was trying to make without naming a team or without naming a coach. Unfortunately, that's what happened. All right. Now, I don't think Nick Saban was necessarily wrong with what he was assessing, because I do think it is a prominent issue right now in recruiting where it's not so supposed to be. And then as it relates to Jimbo Fisher, if you guys listen closely to his comments, he's never actually saying that NIL isn't a part of the recruiting process or hasn't been. All he's saying is that they have not broken any state laws. All right. So, you know, that's the reality of where we're at. And if there's no ability to police this, and there's certainly no ability to enforce this, we've created this world of a gray area. And if you know anything about coaches, they live in the gray area. And now we've handed it to them on a silver platter. So what did you think that they were going to do? So I think the truth in regards to what Nick Saban is saying and the rebuttal on behalf of Jimbo Fisher as it relates to Texas A&M's program is the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
So Jimbo Fisher said that only one of the 11 midterm signees that they got has an NIL deal. Are you buying that?
I could buy that, but he's also forgetting about the other 11 guys that aren't there yet. What are their NILs or potential NIL deals? And, you know, I think we would all be very, very naive to think that when all of this, you know, came about on July 1st and everybody's playing with a different set of cards and different set of rules and really vague actual rules that actually are in place, people and collectives and boosters and all of these folks, they're going to find a way to manipulate that and utilize it to their advantage. And listen, We're talking about something where you're oftentimes in the business landscape or the business world, you're going to have markets correct or course correct themselves. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, this will eventually correct itself. Well, yes and no. The problem is, in order to correct it, then people who have invested in players and those players have panned out, they have to make decisions to no longer do so. But when you're talking about prominent fixtures in the community, people that have money to burn, boosters, people forming collectives, oftentimes those people don't care if they lose money. They're doing it because they want to be a part of the program. They want to try and help the program get over the hump, maybe close the gap, do it sooner rather than later. And they're willing to risk misses off of a couple of kids that they think could be a difference maker for them, and they're willing to do it with high school kids. So until we find people that say, wait a minute, was DJ Uiagalelei, De'Arik King, or Spencer Rattler a wise investment? I think we would all say that the answer is no to all three of those players as they headed into the 2021 season. Until people that are willing to take that money that they invested there and say, you know what, we're no longer going to do that, and until we have some rules and some parameters in place, we may not see a course correction with the market.
Talking college football and recruiting with Tom Luginbill from ESPN. One more big picture thing before we get back to Tennessee's commit class right now. There's been some talk, I guess Scott Strickland sort of tossed this out there, that the SEC may look at doing their own playoff. How much is that a potential, and how much is that posturing towards leverage moving forward?
I think it's easy to sit here and say it's posturing, but the reality is at this point, everything has to be on the table. And when you are at the forefront of controlling collegiate athletics the way that the SEC is, particularly as it relates to revenue-producing sports, this is one of those deals where if you said that, okay, and think about this from a television standpoint, a revenue standpoint, maybe think about it from ESPN. Perspective. More importantly, think about it from a fan's perspective. Whether you're an SEC fan or not, if the SEC decided to say, you know what, we're going to take our top six teams at the end of the regular season, and then we are going to have two games played, two teams are going to get a bye, then they'll have a semifinal, and then we'll have a final, and you are going to be able to pit the top six teams against each other in a playoff format just in that conference alone, not meaning that the rest of college football can't have a college football playoff. They absolutely can. There's no question. In fact, you can merge the two together, and the winner of the SEC playoff decides to play the winner of the college football playoff. However it is you'd want to map it out, it is doable, and it is fascinating because people care about matchups. and they care about matchups they want to see. And if you took arguably what most people would agree is the best conference, and you said you were going to get more matchups between the top teams in that conference when the season was over, everybody would bite.
Tom, there are four ESPN 300 players in the current 2023 commit class for Josh Heupel in the University of Tennessee. We talked about Nico already, but the other three are Caleb Herring, Ethan Davis, Sylvester Smith. Anything stand out to me, to you, about any of those guys or anyone else in the commit class that you think is noteworthy or guys you really like?
Well, I think, number one, it's early. All right, so you've got nine verbal commitments. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think if you look at the class as a whole, not just the ones in the ESPN 300, the more guys you see that are highly ranked players that are in the offensive and defensive front, the better off you should feel as a Tennessee fan, because that's the position everybody's chasing, right? That's the position that's going to close the gap between you and Georgia, you and Alabama, you and Auburn, you and LSU, whoever it is that seems to be hogging all those types of players. You can get all the skill guys you want, but I think what we all know that in this league, you better have some people that can disrupt the quarterback and stop the run, and you better have some people that can run the football and effectively change the game up front on the offensive side of the ball. We know how important the quarterback play is, but I think in this recruiting class, you know, you're sitting there and you're looking at a guy like Trevor Duncan, you're looking at a guy like Nathan Robinson, you're looking at a guy like Aiden Bustle. All three of those guys, maybe not in the ESPN 300, but they're highly graded players, players that could develop, players that could become something and actually be within your program for 4 or 5 years, not just three. That's not a bad thing because you're establishing long-term depth. So for me, I always try to look at the class top to bottom, and then as it continues to roll into the fall and get closer to November, you really start to see how a class shapes up. If you break it down in thirds, you got your top third, your middle third, your bottom third. What positions are in each one of those three tiers?
Tom, I got one more for you. You've done recruiting for a long time, and I just wonder, when quarterbacks go to these Elite 11 camps, how mm-hmm. accurate of a barometer is it for them as far as a college quarterback based on how they perform at an Elite 11 camp?
It's minimal. I mean, it really is. You know, it's a great experience, and you're going to learn a lot about the kids. It's another opportunity and another window to study those guys. But you're only going to gather so much out of it. It's really not much different than a Nike camp on a weekend, an Under Armour camp on a weekend, an Adidas camp on a weekend. And these kids go, and they all go through, for the most part, a lot of the same sets of drills and the same, you know, sets of scenarios. And given the day, a kid could show up and have a bad day, and then he could show up 2 weeks later and look like an entirely different guy. So I take them with a grain of salt. I don't dismiss it. What I do think, though, is that one of the hardest positions to project the younger that you go. So when you're projecting at the high school ranks what a quarterback's going to be, there are a lot of unknown variables. So you try and gather as much information as you can. But if you're just going to sit there and say that, okay, so-and-so won the Elite 11, so-and-so came in second, so-and-so came in third, and you'd say, okay, well, that's how their college stock's going to be. That's how their career is going to go, you'd be sorely mistaken.
Tom, what are some things you're working on that our listeners can see or hear you or read you working on?
Actually, just finished writing up a piece kind of, you know, previewing what the 2023 quarterback class looks like, both at the pocket passing category and the dual threat category. And, you know, how does it shape up? Like, in my mind, I think the dual threat category this year isn't anywhere near as strong or deep as it's been in years past. I'm working on that piece. That's due later today for me. And then been hosting SEC this morning on SiriusXM all week. And really just got through it. Just got back from Las Vegas. Got off the road for our final Under Armour ESPN camp. So we got a little bit of a break heading into a Memorial Day weekend. And next thing you know, I think we got a midsummer ESPN 300 re-release after the kids all go to camps and combines and get all that stuff wrapped up. So, again, another piece of the puzzle gets wrapped up. Kind of go back and you take a look at the rankings and you make necessary adjustments.
So are you finding time to actually do cameos as well? Is this a thing?
No, I do cameos only as instructed, and what I try to do is way overprice my cameos so nobody will ask for one.
Outstanding. At Tom Logan Bill.
I'm not overestimating my value. Just trying to stop you from asking for one.
You can book Tom. Just go to at Tom Logan Bill, look on his bio, and get a link there and get set up. Hey, Tom, really appreciate it. Always outstanding insight. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Tom.
All right. Great. Tom Logan Bill from ESPN.
Yeah, really good stuff. We appreciate him joining us.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.